Blog Talk Radio.
We go now to Bernie Sanders, who is joining us, I think. Are you in New Hampshire, sir?
I'm in Vermont.
And you're from
Vermont? Oh, yes, is the people's New Hampshire.
Right.
New Hampshire's the 1% of Vermont. I would never step foot in New Hampshire until
right.
The primaries.
Okay. Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I would like to say hello to you and to your listeners, specifically the ones who make less than $47,000 a year. Those are the hardworking Americans that I'm here to represent. Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah. Well, what about the other people that are, you know, making 50, 55, even 100,000?
Oh, you mean the Rockefellers of the United States that are sucking wealth out of the middle class, the hardworking middle class that's composed of people that work in coal mines and chimney sweeps? I've nothing to say to those people.
Yeah. So what exactly is why do you think you've connected to the people so dramatically now?
I think we're finally awaking as a country that wealth is entirely dependent upon theft, and they're understanding that the way to handle it is to either take the money of rich people or potentially break them into smaller organs and pieces and redistribute them to the masses. And I am the only person that wants to actually take blood out of Jeff Bezos and resupply it to other more hardworking people.
You actually want his blood?
Yes.
Yeah.
That way, at that point, because you have access to the bank account if you have blood. Not a lot of people know that. But there was a law in the 70s that if you get somebody else's blood, you have some recourse to their checking account.
I don't think that's true, sir. Now, some of the proposals that you're making are, I mean, they sound like the former Soviet Union.
I will acknowledge they are robust proposals to try and save the United States from descending back into a plutocratic hellhole where aristocrats with top hats are beating coal orphans with whips for their amusement. Yes, Glenn, if that's what you mean.
People haven't worn top hats for a very long time, around the time of Abraham Lincoln, I believe.
And that is entirely due to the New Deal of FDR. If it weren't for FDR, there would be top hats everywhere and coal orphans living
right.
in caves.
So you're for the Green New Deal, I suppose.
I had a lot of problems with it, as I imagine you did. I thought it was fairly anemic. And very tiny in its scope. I thought it could have been 3-4 times more robust than it was. And when I'm elected president, I will make a hyper neon green deal that's new.
A hyper...
Hyper neon new green deal.
Okay. And what's in that hyper new green deal?
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that. I know you and I don't always see eye to eye.
Yeah,
however, I appreciate being able to spell out the policies. These are important to the working people of the United States.
So, okay.
The number one thing, Glenn, is Medicare for all. Now, I know what you're going to say, Glenn. You're going to say, how can the United States afford to pay for Medicare for all of the people of the entire planet Earth? And I tell you, we have enough money to do that, and it is unconscionable.
Wait a minute.
That the wealthiest country in the history of the world can't give health care to everyone on Earth.
So you want Medicare for everybody.
For everyone on Earth, and if there are other planets that have life, we will also give it to them. But right now, everyone on Earth.
Okay. So do we have borders in your world?
Yes, we do. We do have borders because you have to be aware and conscious of rich people from other countries. You have to be able to stop them from coming in.
So you have borders around rich people?
Yes. Ideally, we would not let in anyone from the Cayman Islands or from Switzerland. Those two places are awful. And if we do not outright declare war on them, we should quarantine them.
Okay. All right. How do you... for instance, New York just rejected, Amazon, and they said New York doesn't need, Amazon's jobs. We create thousands of jobs every month anyway. We're bigger than Amazon. And you killed 25,000 jobs.
That, Glenn, this is a fundamental misunderstanding of how the economy works. The economy naturally produces wealth. It comes up, it kind of bubbles out of the ground. Like, you're probably a proponent of trickle-down economics. I'm a proponent of dribble-up economics, like from a septic tank. It rises from the bottom, and it just naturally happens. And evil people take more than their fair share. So the job of the government is to allocate theft, which is what all commerce is, into smaller units that are more equally distributed. And the people of New York did that. They saw the benefit in having a type of leader who is a technocrat with a sweater vest and having them in charge of money. That is the future of mankind, Glenn.
All right. So, Bernie, there's been a lot of dirt that has come out on you, that essay that you wrote about how men have a fantasy of women on their knees, bound and gagged and beaten. That's their sexual fantasy. And women, they're fantasizing about being raped by three men at once.
Glenn, that essay was a long time ago. I believe that was 1973, which is also the last time I had sex.
Right.
I have not had any relations since that time. I believe I should be expunged due to the good behavior that I've had.
Of not having any sex.
Not at all. Not at all. And tell everyone's having an equal amount. I refuse to engage in carnal relations with any Americans.
Right. Okay. Are these things being like the videotape of you praising, you know, Castro's revolution? You still stand by that?
Castro was a great leader and a great man. He did a lot. He brought universal education to the island of Cuba. He was a fanatic for cigars. Yeah, but they were also made by good working Cubans, and he was an excellent baseball player, which I myself am a fan of. I don't know if you know this. I'm originally from Brooklyn,
but
the Brooklyn Dodgers were there until capitalists stole them and sent them to Los Angeles.
Okay, but Castro himself was a killer. I mean,
Castro had a couple of details. You know, all leaders have a couple of things that maybe are foibles that they have to deal with. You know, I frequently am criticized on my fashion because I like to store the two suits that I own in a Pringles can. Does that detract from my excellent policy chops? I say no.
But having a crumpled suit and killing, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, I wouldn't compare them.
I think the issue, Glenn, is we're trying to make a better, more just, more equitable society. Occasionally. People might die, but they will die less than in a capitalist system, which is based on making a puree out of workers and then giving it to cows to feed them, and then we eat the cows, and that creates gases. There's all sorts of cycles that I don't think you're acknowledging in the capitalist system.
Some might say that you're crazy, Bernie.
I am crazy, like FDR was crazy. I'm crazy for justice. Crazy for equality? Does that make me crazy, Glenn? I say no.
Okay. All right. Just one more quick question. You know, you've come out against Howard Schultz.
Yes.
Because he's wealthy.
Yes.
But you said to run as an independent is horrible. You are an independent.
I am an independent strategically when it suits the ambitions of me and the working class people. Howard Schultz is a billionaire. Every billionaire is a policy disaster in the United States. I think his money should be taken and every Starbucks should be converted into some sort of organic farming facility for iceberg lettuce, not for kale. Kale is the top 1% of vegetables.
All right.
Just for iceberg lettuce.
All right. So you're for the Democratic Party. All the rifts between you two have healed. There's nothing but love with you and the Democratic Party.
I am a strong proponent of the Democratic Party. I am enjoying the Democratic Party. I'm proposing legislation actively that we should all legally be friends. And I believe once that's passed, that we will usher in a new utopia.
All right. And just if anybody wants to pitch in on your campaign, what do you recommend?
You can go to my website.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Bad decisions still seem to be the talent they embrace, yet somehow it's all Whitey's fault.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, is themselves that they consider a communist atheist Jew as one of the tribe, as one of the boys, even though he's attacking religion.
What, Commander Rockwell? You mean like atheist like drag queen story hour, atheist like pro-choice, atheist like common core de-education, or even perhaps atheist like the neon god they made and worship?
I didn't put him in there. Can you imagine if the book called A Directory of Great Christians listing George Lincoln Rockwell as one of us? Or Adolf Hitler? Not yet, not for a while. You will see the day that that will be in, but right now everybody's too scared. People are scared of these Jews, so they don't do it.
Scared of what, white man? Your own existence?
This was a classified document, so the guy let himself go a little bit. Listen to what he says. He says, it is probably unwise to say this loudly in the United States, but the Bolshevik movement is and has been since its beginning guided and controlled by Russian Jews of the greediest type.
With the power of love for your race and success of your children and grandchildren, there very well could and should be a world when George Lincoln Rockwell Boulevard or Adolf Hitler Avenue or Francis Parker Yockey Place does, in fact, exist.
The only way we can beat this communist monster that's growing a cancer in our society is building up a fanatic, disciplined army of counter-fanatics.
Go to nsm88.org. Not later. Not next week. Now.
And that's exactly what we are doing. My men are disciplined enough so that I can send them on any kind of a mission, and they will do it. So are Elijah Muhammad, and so are the communists. Those are the only three groups that I know of in the United States of America that will stand up and die for what they believe in.
The great commander, George Lincoln Rockwell, did in fact die for what he believed in. Not unlike JFK, MLK, Fred Hampton, Francis Parker Yockey, George Patton, killed by the Jews. But much to no surprise, he has been vilified instead of celebrated. But what he in fact shared with these men the most was his bravery, loyalty of being spellbound by the truth and the love of his race.
And by the way, don't anybody tell me about how great our patriotism is. I was in two wars, and I saw our men in battle, and I was in battle with them. One man was on Guadalcanal here with me. And I know that almost all our troops talked about during the war was how do you get out of this outfit? How do you get home? Our patriotism, our spiritual life is dead. Sir, this is the reason for this juvenile delinquency we have. Our young people don't seem to have any aim, no purpose. There's nothing to look for except booze and TV. Cars and running around, they don't have any aim in life. We're going to have to supply that. If we don't, the communists will, and they are. As I pointed out before, every single great leader in history that has accomplished anything has been a fanatic. Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Billy Mitchell, Christ, all of them were fanatics who died for their ideals. We began this party to do these things, to build up this army of fanatics. And for that purpose, I resorted to almost anything legally. I drew the line at almost nothing. I risked my life time after time in order to force the paper curtain, as we call it, to break apart what they call a quarantine treatment. Many of you probably don't know this. But my opponents, those of the people that oppose me, are very proud of what they call a quarantine treatment. They say Rockwell is a disease, and we must define him by not saying anything about it in the papers, nothing on the TV. We must never let anybody hear anything about this or it'll spread. Of course, that in itself gives the thing away. Call it the quarantine treatment, because why would anything vile spread? Are you so stupid that you can't see whether it's vile or not? So I had to break this. I had to figure out some way of forcing is just what I'm doing here, to disabuse people of the screwy ideas they've got of us and try to show them what it is we really believe and give them a chance to judge it and think about it. That's phase two, is to take the people that have been converted by a propaganda, and some of you are sitting here right now.
And if you are at this point not one of us, he deserved to inherit the earth, or in turn, via the earth. Same difference.
We will be converted to take you and organize you into a political machine. Time after time, history has shown that you cannot win a political battle just because you're right and you've got the majority. You've got to have a machine.
This is Daniel Burnside. The SPLC calls me a racist. The ADL calls me a domestic terrorist. Soros Antifa call me a fascist. E-Title calls me an extremist. UN calls me a white supremacist. My friends and comrades call me Norse, and I call myself a Nazi.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson here, podcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina. Really, Stokesdale, North Carolina. I just say Greensboro. Just to throw the idiots off for a little while, you know. But anyway, we're here in North Carolina, and it's 9:16 p.m. on the East Coast. We are live for those idiots in the chat room that say the show is pre-recorded. It's not pre-recorded. We just play pre-recorded intros, you know, but you're too dumb to figure that out, most of you that tune in, the trolls anyway, that is. So, but anyway, we've finally made it over to this platform, and now we'll be able to start to put together shows at where we can have guests and possibly bring over a different type of audience to this platform and possibly maybe win over those people that are sitting on the fence also that don't know which side to, you know, jump, which side to jump. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this is the side to jump on right here, this platform right here with Bert. And his platform is really the platform that really we all have to start supporting. And really, I just don't know how else to say it. I mean, we've been over it 1,000 times. It's like a broken record. But they say if you keep saying the same thing over and over, people start to believe it because, you know, repetition counts. So we got to repetize this show and Bert's show to, I guess you could say, wake the people up because there's zombies out there. I mean, just take a look around. I mean, the people wearing the masks. I mean, don't walk into a store without wearing a mask, and everyone just stares at you. It's like the blue pill or red pill. You know, they took the blue pill, and then like you're on the red pill, and they know that. You know, I mean, it's just insane. And even before all this pandemic crap started, and what is a pandemic? Somebody asked me that earlier today. I think it was on the telephone. They were saying, "What is a pandemic?" And I would kind of hope that caller would call in here and explain that scenario and explain how they're testing people for this virus and how they're actually it's all a hoax, it's all a fraud. And it actually made some sense what he said and how he said it. I can't repeat it word for word, so I don't want to look stupid, but it was very interesting how he put that in the phone call with me today on this so-called pandemic that they have. And you know, they're going to be coming out with the vaccine. Are you going to take the vaccine? I'm not. Everyone that I know says they're not going to take this vaccine. So, I mean, are you going to take the vaccine? Now, also, my show has a certain call-in number. Don't call into that number. I know there's people over there on that platform now that are listening. There's another number if you want to call in, if you want to talk to me live, if you want to get on here. It's 516-453-6058. Don't call into the 657-383-0616 number because I'm not going to be switching back and forth to studio screens there. So those of you who know about Blog Talk Radio know what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't, we have a studio screen that appears on our little dashboard here and shows us the numbers, shows us everything, what we need to do to connect and play, and we can see the chat rooms and whatnot. Now, I don't really see the chat room. I'll maybe go from time to time to flick over to see the chat room in my other studio and see what they're saying. Usually, 9 times out of 10, it's nothing but garbage anyway. That's why a lot of people, most of my supporters, don't even tune into the chat room anymore. So if you want to get on here tonight and you talk about whatever you want to talk about, all you got to do is press number 1, and I will connect you. I don't screen calls. I do it kind of like Bert does. Don't screen calls at all. Just take you live. And if you're an idiot, I see his toilet bowl thing right here. I like that. I'm hoping maybe I could use it a couple times tonight, so we'll see what happens. But so we got any takers here? Okay, we got one already that's popping up, got his hand up, him or her, and we'll see what happens. And I'm sure maybe some of Bert's people may have some questions here. Hey, who's this guy? What's he doing on here? You know, maybe want to ask me some questions. You can do that. That's fine, too. All right, just press the number 1, and I'll get you on. All right, first one, 810, go ahead. I'm going to mute you now. We got a full board here, so go ahead, 810.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
How's it going, Mr. Gibson?
I'm doing all right. Thank you very much.
I actually, like you were just saying, Commander Colucci kind of hit me to your show a little while back. So I've been listening for about 2 months. And doing your archive stuff too, listening to it. And like you were just saying, I mean, am one of the people that been riding the fence for about 2 years now. You know, I was definitely pretty hardcore, you know, Republican conservative type guy, and full on with the, you know, National Socialist Movement. Cause I mean, you see how everybody's not standing up and doing anything. And he was up here in Detroit, and that's kind of when I first met him. I was not a member, and but I was down there in Detroit, and we walked through the gay pride parade. And yeah, people need to wake up.
It was pretty powerful, right? It was pretty powerful, the reaction that you got. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. So can you explain that, the electricity of how that was? You say you walked through the gay pride parade. Just explain that, how that felt, and how you were just like the hate, like how they hated you. They talk about hate that, you know, we hate, or you know, the commander hates, and or this platform hates. But talk about their hate, how they hated you, you know?
Well, it was pretty weird because the first – we had a few reactions actually when we were – we parked quite a ways away. So, well, we had to because it was – I mean, it was so packed right there at Hart Plaza. It was – man, we had probably walked at least a half mile or somewhere close to that. And as we were walking out – I'm not a member of the group. They're supporting them. But we started walking down the road, and at first – you know, the funny part was there was people that would see, you know, the shields and the flag of the swastika, and they would just back up against, you know, like the side. We were going like under, well, we were crossing a road at first, and then we were going underneath like a kind of like a bridge type thing. But there was people backing up against the wall like we were going to do something to them, which is not what we're about. It's not about hating really somebody else. It's just being proud that, you know, you're white. But so we end up going all the way down. We walk around for a while, but then we're crossing the street, and the first person that tries to stop us is a police officer, and he's wearing this he had a heart with a gay pride flag type thing in the heart, which is kind of weird. And he was the first guy to stop us, and he's like, you can't cross the street. And the road is backed up, like it's backed up pretty bad on Woodward Avenue because the lights keep changing, and there's all these people. There were people dropping people off right there just to get out of the car before we even got there. But then this officer stops us, and he's like, you can't cross the street. And, you know, Commander Colucci, if you watch his thing that he put on, he was using a GoPro. But you could see it there a lot better than me just trying to explain it. But I mean, I was there, so I guess it's firsthand experience in a sense.
No, you're doing a good job explaining it, because I'm getting a good visual of it. So you're doing a good job explaining it.
Yeah. So the officer's like, you can't cross the street. And Commander Kluge's like, what do you mean I can't cross the street? And he's like, and he's getting kind of feminine, you know, he was a smaller officer, and he's, you know, Commander Colucci's like, hey, just because you're sitting there wearing the sticker, you can't infringe on my First Amendment rights. And he's like, I don't care, you're not crossing the street. Now, the kind of the weirdest point that some people might think about it was the police officer, that the other officer that came in there, he was like a captain or whatever he was, but he was he definitely outranked that guy. He comes in there, and it was a black officer, and he comes right up there, and he actually kind of did grab his officer and pushed him back and was like back up, like he's trying to, you know, calm down the situation, which, I mean, we weren't upset or anything. Commander Colucci wasn't upset. He was just like, you can't infringe on my First Amendment rights. And then the officer's like, what's going on? You know, and then, you know, Bert was getting a little frustrated, not much, but he's like, hey, man, why can't I cross the street? We're just trying to go out here and protest. You know, we're not going to go into the event. We're just going to walk outside there was a whole, it was gated all the way around Hart Plaza. You could not get in there. They had like areas where you had to go into and you had to go walk through a metal detector and everything else. He's like, I'm not trying to go into that. I just want to, we want to cross the street and walk back and forth in protest against something that we do not agree with. We're National Socialists. You see the swastika on our arm. You see the banner that we're flying, and we do not agree with the fact that, you know, these people are down here that are, you know, gay, homosexual, whatever, that are having this event going on, and we disagree with it. So, and the officer was like, okay, no problem. Let's go. Like, and he's got all the other officers. He was like a captain or whatever, and he was like, come on. And
what about the guy? What about the guy that didn't want? What about the guy that didn't want you to cross? What did he do? Like stand down? I mean, what was he like? Oh,
oh yeah.
He's all got all flustered. You know, oh, I can't believe it. You know, you say he was kind of like a pansy. You know how the gay people that kind of act. They got that. You could tell a gay guy usually. You tell usually most of them you could tell. You know how they act. But yeah, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. If you definitely seen the GoPro, you would. Yes, you're right. He was, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm a tall guy. I'm 5'11", but he was probably 5'6", maybe 165 pounds. And he definitely talked kind of almost with a little bit of a lisp. He was like, you can't cross
the
street.
They all do.
Yeah. And it,
they all do.
And that's when Bert was just like, he got like, right then is where he, well, he was just being authoritative, but he was never disrespectful. And that's kind of what got me, you know, I mean, we walked down the street and then these Antifa guys come out of the park and they come out of the, you know, the gay pride event. And they're like, they were the only people that almost got arrested. Not us. We weren't doing anything wrong. I mean, we had shields, or they had shields. I can't say we, because, I mean, granted, I was there, but I'm not a member of the group. They had shields, and we're walking down the street, and then here's Antifa coming out, and they're screaming and yelling and acting crazy. And, you know, we just keep walking, and the officers actually had shields, too. And so they start, like, pushing the Antifa guys back, and they're like, back up, you know, back up. And then they would tell us once in a while, hey, stop, because these Antifa guys are not moving. So they're like, they're telling us to stop. So we stop, you know, we're obeying the officers. We're not trying to break the law. We're just trying to do our First Amendment right. We have the right to do this. And these guys start like screaming and yelling, and the officers are like, hey, you need to back up. They have the right to walk down the street. And they're like, F you, you know, and there's flinging middle fingers
foul
up.
Foul language, foul language,
oh, yeah.
Totally disgusting, yeah, rude, immature,
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And violent, too, acting violent, yeah.
Yeah, and they started trying to, they started pushing back against the officers, and then finally, they actually had to take the one guy, and they put his hands behind his back, and the female, she was the worst one, which is crazy to me. That's the one, if you see on the video, that, Bert kind of, Commander Colucci kind of heaped her down in a sense, but she was walking in front of us and she tried to stop us, like all of us. She stuck her arms out, and he's like, at first we just kind of let her come through, you know, but we're like, hey, you know, you can't be blocking the sidewalk. So we kind of parted, we went around her, then she comes back up in front of us. And then she tries to stop us again. And they're like, excuse me, ma'am, we have a right to walk down the street. And then she kind of turns her back and she kicks him, like, in the shin. And that's, well, he warned her first. He's like, ma'am, you need to move or I'm going to put you on the ground. Like, you can't keep blocking. I'm walking forward, so, like, don't act like I'm trying to, you know, be mean to you. And then she kicks back and hits him in the leg, and then he kind of pushes her. And she falls down, you know, he didn't do it really rudely. He just was like, you're not going to kick me. Boop. And then, you know, the officer's right there.
Well, you know
all
something. I mean, before I forget my train of thought there, you know, technically the NSM there has a good lawsuit. Whoever funds Antifa, if that was an identified Antifa member right there, the NSM has a good lawsuit. Again, use their laws, their tricks against them, because that's what they did against the UKA. You know, they were doing a march, and they, you know, what the NAACP, I think, was doing a march, and the UKA members were, the United Klansmen of America were, threw a brick or something, hit some guy over the head, and some other stuff. I don't know the details, but they, Morris D. Southern Poverty Law Center, sued and, you know, got millions of dollars of injunction against the Klan group, and bankrupted them, actually. So, you know, so because they obstructed their First Amendment right to march and do whatever they were doing at the time. I don't know all the details, but I remember that, you know, them talking about it and everything. And I remember the Invisible Empire also was sued similar to that. And then, you know, I remember the Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan saying, you know, hey, guys, stay away from there. Don't do that. Don't obstruct them because they'll come after us. They'll sue us and, you know, shut down our printing press. And they did, you know, and then that's what happens. Because if you obstruct your civil rights, you can go after them. And that's what the NSM should do. Go after Antifa. Who funds them? George Soros? Them? Go after them. You know, sue them. Use their tricks, you know. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to put that thought out there.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, we didn't know at the time, or they did not know at the time. I keep using the term we. I'm not a member of the group, but or it's just they're supporting them. We found out later. I think she was Great Lakes Antifa member, which somehow, I don't know how, but Commander Colucci, I'm pretty sure, I'm not speaking for the man. But they said that they did the research on her because we had the, or they had the video footage and said that she was a member of Great Lakes Antifa. So, no, I totally agree with you. That is the biggest problem that, you know, people or Americans just don't do. We don't want to so much, you know, want to fight back. Like, oh, I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah.
I can't speak up against whatever's going on around us. Like, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, Oh, you can burn my flag down, American flag.
Yeah.
They can fly the Black Lives Matter flag.
Facebook tonight took down, I put the NSM's link up there to the podcast, took it down off my Facebook. They said it was offensive and it advocates violence. That's what it said. That's what, you know, that was the reason. What are you talking? It's a podcast show. What are you talking about? You know, and I'm protesting that, actually. You know, I wrote a big thing. I even got their phone number and everything. I was going to call them. You know, I mean, I might line that up maybe next show. You know, call them and, you know, that's why are you taking down my stuff? Well, you know, what do you mean advocates violence? What are you talking about? So, but it's okay for the Black Lives Matters, which we know advocates violence. I mean, for God's sake, blowing up police cars, but burning down small businesses. We know it's documented that they're a violent group. You know, so why are they able to go all over Facebook and have their own pages and platforms and whatnot? You know, that I'd put them right on the spot. But you're absolutely correct with that point you just made right there. But when you got to the rally point there, what did you see? I mean, what happened?
Well, we just crossed the street, and then the Antifa guys were there, and then we kept walking for, you know, back. Well, I got the video to myself because I was standing in the back. I was just there supporting him, so I'm not really good with my phone, but I actually used it that day and took the video of it, and we got all the way up to, like, right where, I mean, everyone knows, like, the main picture of Detroit with the General Motors building, and it's there. And so we got up to that point. We started to cross. We crossed the street there. And as we're walking up there, somebody, I don't know if that, I mean, there was a ton of cars. This is backed up traffic. It was very crazy. I mean, that's why we had to park that far away, because I think it started like 10 in the morning and we didn't, or, well, I was actually there, so I could say we then at this point. We got there at like 1 o'clock or noon. So it had already been going on for a couple of hours. So we had to park a long ways away, but we started walking back up. We crossed the street, and then somebody throws a bottle it hit right next to me and almost hit. It was closer to the officer than me, but like I know that they were throwing it, I would assume, at us, but it actually almost hit the officer, and it was probably 4 feet from me and 2 feet from the officer. And there was a bottle, and it smelled like
probably urine,
type of hot
feces,
salt.
Or something like that, right?
No, it was just like,
oh, really?
That's the smell. Yeah, that's the smell I got out of it. I mean, I don't know how they had time to even figure out that we were there. I mean,
maybe they had to turn around. That would have been very difficult.
I'm sure, if you obtain any permits, it's public record, and they plan already. They know you're there. If Antifa was there, well, they're already, they go to those things anyway, looking for, you know, anyone that's going to counter protest and then agitate the situation. I don't know. I wasn't there either, but I just, I'm just saying that's what they do then. And they're, you know, Soros and them, they got their provocateurs and their little informants all over the freaking country, you know. So, but yeah, man, the bottle almost hits you. I mean, what happened? Did they find the person who threw the bottle, or did that agitate more people to throw things?
Nope. We didn't do anything like – I mean, I was in the very back because I wasn't a member, so I was in the back group of – this is the craziest part. There's only 12 to 15 of, I will say, us again, because I was included kind of in that. And then there was probably – there was more cops around us, I think, than there was actually – NSM members that were there, but there was 40,000 gay pride people there.
Wow.
And Antifa, and none of them, or none of us, did anything violent. We never, we did say things that, you know, could, you know, disturb them in a certain way. You know, there was a little bit of foul language thrown out, you know, but it was just like, you know, like, screw you homosexuals, or actually said F you faggots, but
You
know,
well, that's your right. That's your right to do that. I mean, like, real quick, the last rally I've ever went to, that was actually a Klan rally. It was in Hartford, Connecticut, and there was about 65 of us there. And we were protesting the forced busing. They were going to start busing children from the suburbs into the cities because they wanted to mix the schools up more because they were too segregated, the schools. This is 1993.
Wow.
And the governor, you know, the legislators came up with this bright idea to say, hey, kids in Litchfield in the predominant white schools are now going to be bused to Hartford, which is a ransacked, all-black, gang-infested, bullet holes in the wall school. So we're going to send those kids there. You know, the white kids there, and we're going to ship the black kids over to the white school. That was some idiot came up with that idea, and the Klan went up there. William Dodge, the Grand Dragon at the time, went up there, protested that. And, there wasn't actually too many protesters there, but the news media, there was more news media there. I remember looking at their eyes, and they were like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. A real live Klansman, you know, and it was like, you know, like it was like their eyes were bugging out of their head. And I'm like, look at these people, you know, it's like, you know.
One of the funniest things was, the craziest part was, before all this happened, we went and we ate at a certain restaurant, and we walk in, and I mean, they're full on like dressed up. They got their black shirts on, black pants, and they're wearing an armband with a swastika on it. And we go in to eat this restaurant, and it's, I mean, we're in Detroit. Like they were right next to the airport. And that's where I met them, and we walk into this restaurant, and probably a quarter of the patrons there. Or
you really trusted them to make your food? You trusted them to make your food
and
serve you with that food?
No. No, that's part of the story, too. But we go in there, and, like, there's nowhere for them to seat, like, all of us without, you know, being around some former black people, right? Now, nobody says anything. We just sit down, right? And then these black people that are, you know, in the restaurant, like, and like some of them asked to be moved, or they moved them, and then the other black people that were around, the actual the waiters, they come in and they say, hey, like, do you guys want to move? I'm just assuming that's what they said, because they weren't speaking loud, but like they got close, and then they moved them out of the way, and nobody said anything. No one looked mean, or, you know, we just sat down to eat. And then, no, you're right there, because we thought it was going to be kind of like a buffet type setting, but it wasn't. You had to order your food. And no, you're right, probably three quarters of the guys were like, nope, I'm not gonna order anything. And they're like, oh, do you want some coffee? Do you want, nope. Because they were afraid that
you sell bottled water.
Yeah, no. Yes, that's the sad part of it. You know, it's not like if I would say, because I've known a lot of, or some NSM members, you know, I know Bert, I told him I've seen him, and I listen to Harry Hughes and, you know, the certain shows that everybody has. It, even if a black guy was to come into some place where they were working, I extremely or highly doubt that any one of them people would do something disgusting to put something into somebody's food and serve it to a black person or a Mexican or anyone else. Because they don't seem like – I'm a member of another group now, but that's what got me kind of interested. That's what I was saying earlier. I was kind of on the fence. And then being there and seeing that, I'm like, thank you. Somebody is flying the swastika because they were trying to use the Odin rule before that as their flag. And then Bert, when he took over, it went straight back to the swastika. And I'm like, thank you. You know, it's not – I know people look at it like a symbol of hate, but everybody that I've met from – you know, NSM members to the group that I'm affiliated with now, they are just out there trying to promote white pride.
And the swastika, see, well, a lot of people, not to interrupt, but a lot, I've covered this one time on Bert's show, actually, when I called in. I remember years ago, we used to get that question, you know, I think I remember that one of the police officers asked us one time, I forgot how the conversation came up, but they said, you know, the swastika, you know, how do you talk to a World War II veteran who fought, you know, which most of them now are, you know, they're so old that they're not going out there marching, you know, or doing anything anymore. They're all in their 90s, but dying off day by day. But, you know, back in the early 90s, there was a lot of them still around. I think even a couple of World War I veterans, actually. I think in the 80s, I remember meeting a few. But how do you justify a swastika to those guys? Because they get offended, you know, they'll be offended. And actually, most World War II vets would not. You know, they were not offended by that. It's just a perception that the media and what you've been told or fed throughout the educational system or the TV or books or just your normal crew that you hang around with, the swastika, ooh, the swastika, Nazi, ah, you know, evil, well, that you're fed that paradigm of thinking, and that's what you're born and bred to believe, and it's not true. Like you just said, it's not true at all.
Yeah, no, that's exactly kind of how I grew up, the exact same way. I mean, I was born in 1980, you know, and I went to school and I got all the exact same stuff. And I was like, wow, man, like, these Nazis and or the swastika is like a really bad thing. And then when I served in the military, I was with 101st Airborne. And then I went to Fort Lewis, Washington. Then I was there. I was a sergeant in the Army. And then when I got out, I ended up running into this guy one day, and he was like, you know, he kind of seen how I was, and he kind of watched me for a while. And he was like, one day I walked up, and he had his door open, and he's got, like, this picture of, like, Hitler and, like, interracial breeding and this stuff on there. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, hey, do you like what you see? And I'm like, no. He goes, what do you mean? He's a big boy. I mean, he's a big man. He's a lot bigger than me. And he's like, what do you mean? And I go, you know how many Americans fought and died to, you know, fight against the Nazis? You know, I said, I was a soldier in the Army. And he goes, and he just nodded at me. He goes, okay. And I just kind of walked away, you know. And then he kept watching me for a while. He's seen the people I kind of was hanging out with. And then he talked to me later on. He goes, hey, you know, he goes, I see, like, you're not like everyone else. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I see, like, you're not into drugs and, you know, like, using alcohol, like, abusing it and doing all this other stuff. He goes, why did you say that to me? And I said, well, because, you know, this is what happened. And he goes, well, okay. He goes, that's what you think? Okay. I'm like, what? Like, well, then, like, what do you think? And he goes, It doesn't matter really what I
well,
say.
Well, that's just it. The hidden message is not getting out there. You see, because they control the media,
that's
the Jewish people
thing.
Control the media, and they put this narrative on the swastika and the neo-Nazi groups out there, and especially the NSM, and that they're this hateful group or people that are out there getting ready to kill the next Jew or and it's not true. That's not true at all.
Well,
or kill. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, that message that we have to try to reverse.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is, if you want, like, everyone likes, in a sense, some form of statistics or stats or whatever you want to call it. Tell me one NSM member in the past 30 years has went to prison for assaulting any minority group of people.
Yeah, or individual, for that matter. Yeah,
committed some type of a bad crime. You know, it doesn't happen. And then you look at, Black Lives Matter, what they're doing.
Even if it did, even if one does, if someone does, you can't judge an entire group of people based upon the actions of one individual, and you can't do that. That's just that's just wrong, and that's not what America is about. You know, you're responsible for your own actions, your own individual. You're an individual. You're your own person, and you can't judge that. If someone goes out and does something like that, a horrific act, and we don't advocate violence at all, and neither does Bert's this platform. We don't advocate no violence at all. So
I have to get off
off the bat right there, But if someone does, and they get front, who listens to this show and goes out and does something crazy, we do not support that. But they would judge us. And they would condemn us, and you better believe the FBI would be here interviewing me, because we're guilty by association,
No, you're absolutely right. And the saddest part about it is, like you were saying, let's say one or two or three people did actually do something. Now look at Black Lives Matter, and what they're doing or what they've done. They went and there was hundreds of people that were flipping over cop cars, lighting them on fire, burning down businesses, rioting, looting. We're all supposed to be on quarantine. We're all supposed to be in our houses. And, we're supposed to be wearing masks and all this other stuff. And Antifa was right there with them. I mean, you look at Chaz up there in Seattle. That was the exact same way. They did all this stuff. And the media, like you're saying, now granted, eventually a little bit of Fox News and eventually some other ones kind of tipped in a little bit after a while, these people are doing, some bad things. Why? Oh, well, because there's been multiple murders, multiple rapes, all the stuff's happening. But guess what? The white people are still the problem. These neo-Nazis, they're the one, which one of these people are breaking the law? Granted, you could take one guy.
Well, the Jewish media, the Jewish control media, and the educational system is very slick too. If you overcome that narrative, what they'll do is they'll say, "Well, you have a hidden agenda." That means if you can convince everybody, you'll be like Adolf Hitler again, and you'll start rounding everybody up, because you're not in power yet, they got that hidden. I've heard every argument, so that's what they try to do. The thing of it is that's not what the agenda is. His agenda is being, right. What's right? The facts. Examine the facts of what's being said here.
That's the biggest thing, too. If people look back on their own history and America, there was only, 7, 5, 12% of the population of Americans that fought against the British.
Well, they say 3%. That's why they come up with the 3%.
Yeah,
they say the 3%.
I agree with more. I agree more with that. That's what I found. But there's other people that have said 5 or let's say 7, or I'll even give you 12. Let's just say 25%. That's 1/4 of America fought for the independence that we and the freedoms that we have today. Why does not America, the citizens that live here, push back against, like you're talking about, the media, the false Jewish narrative that's being thrown? It's like, there's these evil Nazis out there. There's these even Klansmen. I don't honestly know any of them, but there's evil Klansmen. Okay, when's the last time I heard about a Klansman doing anything bad? Like, maybe there has been. I mean, you could probably, they're going to find one when it happens. you know, if it ever happens, oh, and they're going to throw it in the news media, oh, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to cram it down your throat for like 6 weeks or, you know, 2 months. And, well, what about
that, like
what
the civil rights,
doing?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's an interesting point. You brought that up, see, during the civil rights era and that move, I guess you could say that conflict back then, there was a lot of provocateurs in Martin Luther King's group, Malcolm X, that provoked, and the Klan got blamed for it. So it's the same thing. The media was in control of putting that narrative. Now, were there individuals out there that went rogue and did crazy things and maybe blew up a church or something? And then, you know, yeah, of course, there's evil people all groups, all societies. The problem is the majority is really on the minority side, and that's the problem that we face, you know, and that we have to examine the facts. And that's what I always try to bring out in my show, not emotional opinions, you know, because emotional opinions don't mean nothing. They may sound good. They may feel good. But in the end, they ruin us, you know, so we have to stick to the facts.
You're absolutely right. That's the biggest thing, is that people get so emotional on the Democratic side or the Republican side. And I like the term, and I know other people have used it before, so I didn't come up with it myself, but I will repeat it. If you take a quarter and flip it in the air and heads is Republicans and tails a Democrat, when it hits your hand and you flip it over, it's still a quarter. It doesn't matter. it's kind of the same thing. Like, you're kind of basically, like, that's why I was listening to your show, because Bert talked about it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy, listen to him. And I really like the fact that this is what I hate the most about Americans. I'm not saying you have to be a national socialist. Saying you have to. What I want you to be, yes. But even if you're not willing to go that far, okay, guess what? We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. How do you not know this? This is what you were born into. Our Constitution has not changed. I mean, granted, there's been amendments to it, but the Constitution hasn't changed. How do you not even know it? Like you do, you call in. Oh, no, that's, I love when you call in places and you go, "Do you take Federal Reserve notes?" And they're like, no." And I'm like, "What type of idiot does not know what a federal? How? What? Where are we going?" And that's kind of, you know, why that's kind of what pushed me over the edge.
You're absolutely that's the key. Yeah, that's the key right there. You know, is going over the fence. What side of the fence are you going to choose? And those are a lot of the things that I'm going to examine also when I'm on this platform. And like what you just brought up here, a lot of things that you just said, interesting conversation. And you know, and anyone else who wants to jump into the platform, press the number one. But you're I'm glad that you picked the right side. But what was the clincher before I take the next caller? And I'll leave you on the line. And that's another thing I do. I leave everyone on the line. You hang up on your own unless you're a complete idiot. But go ahead.
Yeah. no, I've listened to your show and I hear how guys are, and that's another good debating thing that you can bring up, because people that are on the other side, they don't always or hardly ever shut their mouth and they want to overtalk someone else. I mean, I heard Commander Colucci, and when he was out there talking, and he was being very respectful. And the other two people arguing, you know, and you had to finally tell them to shut up and, you know, hey, like, let Bert speak. And he never talked, and then he finally talked. And then, like, when you listen to it, you go, any person that has any bit of logic in their brain is going to go, okay, if you're just looking at it objectively, what person, it doesn't matter what side you agree or disagree with, what person is being kind of disrespectful or has no decor or any manners? Well, it was the other side, you know, and it's like,
and that's what
we always push. The thing that pushed me over the edge, pushed me over the edge. I was very hardcore conservative and a Republican, and I finally kept looking at, well, it was Detroit. I went down there, I knew they were going to be there. I had contacts with them, and I said, hey, I'll come here and support you. But I also went down there to my main reason, honest to God, my main reason for going down there was seeing if there was going to be any other conservative groups or church groups that were going to be down there protesting Pride event. They walked through Woodward Avenue. We're talking downtown Detroit, the Motor City, and it's a mile, what, I think the whole parade route was like a mile and a half long. And it was like a 2.5 day event. I think the second day, I think it was at noon, is when they actually had the parade. But we were there before that. But I was down there just to see if any other conservatives were down there just, you know, using the First
Amendment. Conservative value. Yeah, you just hit the nail right. You just hit it right on the head right there. Conservatives are supposed to be against that type of behavior, homosexuality and stuff. You know, and where is the
Christians
Republicans?
Are too.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
the Republicans.
Yeah.
Yep, Christians. I mean, I grew up that way. I was, I grew up in a good Christian home, and I was just like, that's my main reason why I was going down there at first. And then I seen that the only people that were down there doing anything were, you know, the National Socialists, and I'm like, okay, hold on, I don't like proof of this. I know Christians don't, or Republicans don't, or conservatives don't, whatever group you want to get lobbed in with or you claim to be. And that's kind of where I was. I was throwing myself in there with them. And I'm like, why are there none of them here? Really? The only ones are
exactly.
these people? Well, then fine.
Exactly.
Like, let's
why,
do this
why?
Then.
And
like,
the same thing with these shows. It's the same. You know, not to interrupt you, but it's the same thing with these shows. Where are they? You know, where you know, they were giving you an internet platform here worldwide where you can have a voice, you know, and I do it all the time without screen calls. You know, if you call into an FM radio show or you call into a TV show, and I've called into news networks before live on my show, actually. But, you know, they screen you. They screen your call, and they edit everything, too. And if they, you know, if they don't like you, they won't put you on. But, see, we're doing 100% live. We take, like, when Bert does open phones, 100% live. I do always live, 100% live. I'll take calls. You know, like, so, like, real quick, I don't see any new callers right now. There were a few on there. They dropped. But press number one if you want to get on. I promise I'll get to you as soon as I can. Just, I don't, you know, there we go. We got one there. Another one just jumped in here. So stay on the line there, partner, and let me take another call because a couple of them were waiting a while, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. No, you can do that anytime. It doesn't bother me. I talk almost as much as you do, so.
All right, 336, go ahead. I'm going to take you. Oh, yeah. 336, go ahead. You're live.
Hey, this is Nick. I'm in Roxburgh, North Carolina, and just to chime in on a little bit of what y'all were talking about, you know, about, you know, it takes one to give a whole group a bad name. I heard you say you're from Greensboro, so a perfect example would be from Greensboro. Back in 79, the Greensboro Massacre, where the Communist Workers Party was doing a death to the Klan rally, and the Klan showed up with the American Nazi Party to do a counter-protest. And the Communist Workers Party attacked the American Nazi Party and the Klan, and four members from the Communist Workers Party ended up getting killed in that incident there. And then the Nazi Party and the Klan got the blame for everything, even though the Communist Workers Party attacked them and their vehicles.
Yeah, there's video of that. Actually, that video of that, I heard about that. I was too young back then, but... Yeah, they attacked them. They were shouting death to the Klan, death to the Klan, and they attacked the car, attacked them, and man, they got out with the freaking guns, and they just said, "Oh, you want to attack us? Boom, boom!" And they, you know, took it to them, and but they got blamed for it. They were claimed to be the agitators. You know, they even renamed a lot of streets over here in Greensboro.
One of the guys from the Communist Workers Party, the video I watched, I mean, I wasn't even alive back then, but one of the videos I watched, it showed, you know, them attacking the cars for the Nazi Party members and the Klan members, and one of the Communist members actually fired the first shot, and then that's when it all got ugly real quick.
You know, and that's the thing that I always say I worry about. You know, I was a part of the 90s movement there. I went into the militia movement, it's, you know, they always talk about that spark. You know, is there going to be that one spark? And, you know, I remember Ruby Ridge, the big talk about that. You know, oh, we're going to go to get the government. Yeah, nothing ever happened. Waco, rah! Oklahoma City, rah! You know, and nothing happens. Next thing you know, everybody gets rounded up and they're thrown in federal prison. You know, so, you know, they talk about that spark, but – And I always examine that on my podcast. You know, when is it enough? When does society finally break down? Do we have to wait for the government to pull the plug? Do we have to wait for the Black Lives Matter, for we see them, what they're doing in the cities all across America, Antifa? I mean, what's going to happen, in your opinion? I mean, from what you see, your experience, your knowledge, what's going to be the spark that finally pulls us under and drags us into that, which we don't want? We're not advocating. I'm just saying, pulls us into that, you know, divide America. We go into that Civil War era type of thing, you know?
I think we're you know, kind of straddling that fence right now, you know, because a lot of people are getting fed up with it. They're just not speaking out against it, you know. A lot of people are tired of, you know, the way the government's going. And, you know, I'm not on either side of the two-party system either way, you know, because, you know, it's like, ain't neither one of them really worth a shit. But,
amen. Yeah.
You know, like, I live in North Carolina, dipshit, but...
you got that,
you know,
right.
I mean, it's just, a lot of people are getting fed up, but, you know, this Black Lives Matter stuff, that's just pushing people further. The problem I see, though, is that... For a lack of a better word, I'm just going to say spineless, because and I know that's not the 100% case, but, you know, just for a lack of a better word, I'm just going to use spineless. A lot of people are afraid to, you know, step up, stand forward, you know, and come forward, you know, until shit's like right at their front door. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. And, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry, the other line there. You want to say something, too? Go ahead.
Yeah, like he was just saying, you know, I mean, I straddled the fence forever for, you know, I mean, I'm 40 years old now, and I just got involved in the movement. But, you know, it's funny that Americans talk about people sitting on the fence all the time, or like the other gentleman was just saying that, you know, like they're spineless in a sense. You know, I could say I kind of was that way. I mean, even though I was willing to fight, I mean, I was a soldier in the military, but it's so funny to me that, I mean, even the people I talk around here, I live out in, like, you got to drive down 4 dirt roads to get to my house. And everyone's always, oh, look at, you know, what Amazon's doing and how the governor, I live in Michigan, you know, making us wear masks and we're locked down and doing all this stuff. And look what they're doing to small businesses. And I asked them, well, where do you go to shop at? Well, I go to Amazon. I go to Walmart. What? Like, and I'm like, why do you do that? And like, where do you shop at? I said, I shop at my local place. It's called Froney's. Well, you know how much milk is there? It's like $2.99. You know, you can go up to Walmart and get it for 99 cents. I go, no, you are correct. I can go up to, I'm not joking, I can get a gallon of milk in Michigan at the Port Huron Walmart for 99 cents a gallon, any type of milk, like whole milk, half percent,
you know what the key
whatever.
Is, partner? You know what the key is I did this. I've been involved in this since I was 14 years old, okay? So I was out there marching around. So, but what I'm trying to say is that we went after the young people, went to the high schools. I remember back in the early 90s, we had that. I used to do that, go out there, to go for the younger, my age group, the younger people. And then what you have to do is you just mentioned something, Amazon and Walmart and stuff like that. I do it on my podcast now. I go after them. I did a show 2 weeks ago where I called Spectrum. Put them right on Front Street, and the guy, the supervisor I spoke to, they didn't know I was live on the radio, and I just made them look like total assholes. And doesn't that piss you off? That's the thing I'm trying to bring out there. Wouldn't that piss you off? But nobody's pissed off.
No, the funny part is they actually are. They're frustrated enough, but they still go, oh, let me save, you know, $2 on a gallon of milk and still burn down my community. So, I mean, Port Huron, where I live, is 35 miles one way just to get there to buy milk at, you know, $2 cheaper. Okay, granted, if I buy enough milk, you know, it might be worth the drive and to get back home. But now my local businesses, my mom and pop stores, and they all complain out here. I mean, I live out in the sticks. They're all complaining, you know, I got farmers around here. You know, they're all like, oh, these big corporations are always squishing us and doing this stuff. And I'm like, well, then why do you guys still shop at Walmart Why do you buy eggs? Like, that's the other thing. From eggs, you can get what?
Well, why do people get the traffic at Walmart? You go to Walmart parking lots, what do you see? The parking lot is slam filled. You know,
yeah.
So, and look, I'm guilty of that, too. I've gone there, Home Depot, Lowe's, but where the hell am I going to find a lumber yard around here, you know? There's none around. But the thing of it is that I'm in North Carolina, and we see the gentleman there, he's from North Carolina, and we can see what's going on here in North Carolina. It's changed so much over the years that I've seen, anyway, in my life. I mean, I'm sure if he was able to talk to his dad or his grandpa, I mean, how much has changed? It's just, they're disgusted with it. The cities, the Chapel Hill area, Charlotte, these colleges, the college campus areas are the worst. You know?
No,
I mean,
that's
just disgusting.
Right. Yeah, same thing that happened in Wisconsin where all the stuff happened, you know, Madison, you know, that's where all the looting and stuff was going on when that guy got shot up there. But it still comes back down to people doing, you know, the right thing in their communities. I mean, I still know all my farmers around me, you know, and that's why I do that. I go
well, we all
there
knew
and
each
I
other.
Get milk.
Yeah, we all know each other.
Yeah.
I see a private caller. I see the private caller here that's calling in. I'll get to you in about 1 second here. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure I let him know I'm going to connect him. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, I get my eggs from people around me. But if you don't want to know your neighbors, you don't want to know your community, and that's what National Socialism is about. One, you become a better person yourself every day. Try to become a better person. Then help your family out to be the best person you can be for them and help them out as much as you can. Then your neighbors in your community and then your state and then your country. That's what people don't do anymore. Everyone wants to look out just for themselves. I'm comfortable. I can sit in here and watch Netflix or Amazon Prime or HBO or whatever you're watching on TV. I want to have a six-pack of beer and smoke my cigarettes every day and go to my job and kind of feel comfortable and eat McDonald's. Okay, you do have a comfortable life. I can't say that you don't. And you don't even have to work a good job to be able to do that. But what's the cost of it? When people are kicking in your door,
That private caller dropped. I think it's probably a crank call anyway, probably a troll. I think he keeps popping up in here, pressing one. I've seen a couple of them. They flicker on and off the call board. I don't know if anyone else can see that, but I say, oh, there he is. All right, well, maybe not. Let's see. All right, go ahead, private caller. Let me take him because he keeps calling in and hanging up.
Go ahead.
So go ahead, private caller.
Hello.
No,
I would want to know if you and Bert Lucci would come to my casino and give me
your casino, huh?
Blow jobs.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
The Johnny Long.
No, I don't think he's not here, so I don't know why you'd bring his name up. But me, no, I'm not gay. Personally, homosexuals. I mean, you know, I don't advocate violence against you. I am gay. How do you know that?
That's not what Jason told me.
Oh,
Jason
boy,
told me
here we go.
Gay.
Really? Well, anything else you want to say?
He gave a special shout out to someone.
Okay, go ahead.
And that shout out is to Bridget Pruitt for leaving you.
Oh boy! All right, you're off the air. Go ahead. There you go. You know, yeah, that nonsense, idiots. You know, that's my fan club. They follow me around. You know, they want to attack me. You know, but.
That's
what that is right there. That's a queer. That's a bottom dweller of society, the dirt of society that we're going to have to probably clean up when everything's said and done. You know, we have to sweep them under the rug and, you know, kick them down the sewer drain where they belong and throw them down there living with the rats. And, you know, those are the people we're going to throw the scraps to and say, you know, until they get the heck out of here and swim across back to Africa or wherever the heck they came from or, you know, or wherever they're going to go.
That's kind of my point that, sorry for kind of interrupting you there, but, you know, why, if they oppose whatever's being said, why can't you come in here and have an intellectual conversation with people that are sitting here, like your podcast? I've listened to your podcast multiple times now. I go to your archives and listen to them. You know, you're just trying to get these people to give them a voice, or me even a voice, to be able to talk. And if they oppose what we're saying... Why don't you just come on here and, you know, debate or talk
yeah,
or
well,
put
well,
your point
their,
out there.
Their brains are wired wrong. Well, their brains
yeah,
are wired
exactly.
wrong. They're probably on medication, you know, and they grew up with crap in their diapers, sitting in front of the TV because their mom was or their father or whatever was on drugs or shooting up heroin, you know, and they you know which is you know and so they grew up wrong, and then they went to the public school system and they really got brainwashed, and they became you know like that gentleman right there. He became a homosexual probably, you know, because he couldn't figure, he didn't know how to date a girl. He didn't know, you know, he wasn't a man. He didn't have a manly figure in his life. And this is society that we have, and that's how they grow up gay, you know, because and that's broken homes. I'm a staunch advocate of the,
yep.
of against that, actually. Broken homes, you know, we need a man and a woman in a home. You know, we need to restore the family. The family has been destroyed in this country, and that's basically one of our huge problems here in America right now.
No, you're absolutely right. If you look back even like to, okay, I know I'm going to get the year wrong, but back in the early 1900s, there was, you know, free, the black people had already been free. They were, slavery was over and done with. Their divorce rate or broken homes or whatever you want to call it, they were actually a little bit under us. I think they were 5% and we were 7% at the time. You know, and then,
well, their culture. You got to remember,
exactly.
they're, you got to remember. I don't know what you know about. We're going to get into biblical stuff or whatever, but I always go revert to the Bible
okay.
on that. They're
okay,
descendants of Ham. Ham. Well, Ham was a wild man. You know, I mean, you know,
yep.
we know that.
You're
know?
Right.
So, you know, and black people are there. They're not. They can't. Western civilization is not for them. What does our founder say?
Right.
You know, our constitution is for what?
Yeah.
A moral people. You know, it's not inadequate for any other. So they're not moral, or they can't adapt to our ways of life. So they have to really separate ways of living is so. I mean, I don't know how to say. I don't want to say I'm a separatist because I have separatists that call into the show and they make a lot of valid points. Where the people really need to be separated. This melting pot stuff does not work. You know, we're different people. I could recognize my differences to a black, you know, and I respect them, but you can't
exactly.
force people to live like me, you know?
Well, it's just not that. I mean, like, they call us the big melting pot and diversity is supposed to be so good, then why doesn't it ever work? And anywhere, like you're saying, that in the world, you know, like, they took the refugees from Syria and they put them up there in Germany and Sweden, and the rapes in 1 year went up 1,000%. From 27, when the Syrian refugees were up there, I'm not saying that they committed all of them, but it's just like 1,000%. Like, really? Like, that's a huge jump. And they're not there, like, bettering their culture, just like.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Not,
I got both of you on the phone line real quick. I want to ask you a question. I mean, interrupt again, but there's an important question because I get a lot of callers that I'm getting emails right now. What's your opinion on that? Well, obviously, I'm against it. I don't support it, but I'm just me. But I got some people that are emailing me. Well, what's your opinion on, for instance, okay, what do we do with the people that, like, say, the black man's married to a white woman and they got half black, half white kids? What are we going to do with those people? You know, or how do they fit into the society, National Socialist Movement? How do they fit into the Klan ideas? How do they fit into the ideologies or the belief of the foundation of what this country was founded upon? What happens to them? Well, I mean, I don't have any problem with them. I myself, I don't support it. I don't promote it. But what do we do with them?
Well, I'll speak first, I guess. You know, we're not sitting here advocating that, like, oh, we have to go out here and kill these type of people. They chose to do that. So if, you know, they chose to do that and want to be that way, well, I love the fact that you brought up, like, that you don't support it either. But those kids, when they're being raised, it's just like Americans today, like most European Americans, whites. Yeah, they have no idea. I ask them even, like, they can tell me. I ask my nephews and my nieces, you know, hey, you know, like, what's African culture? And they're like, what? I said, what's African culture? And they'll say, oh, well, they did this and this and this and this, you know, and they talk about Rosa Parks and, you know, they know history, all that stuff. And I say, well, what about, you know, Native Americans? Well, you know, there was Sitting Bull and blah, 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 and they talk about Geronimo, and they know all this stuff and Wounded Knee, and I'm like, okay. You know, and they were really put on reservations. They had to walk this way, and a lot of them died, and I said, okay, and what else? Well, they live in teepees, and they eat fry bread, and they do that. I'm like, okay. I said, now what's your culture of your people? And they go, what? I'm like, what's your culture of your people?
Yeah.
And they have no clue.
Identity.
And exactly. Well, it's kind of the same way with those people. You know, you're not going to be, you know, I think it's horrible because it doesn't, you're losing. I would love, I mean, I was a soldier in the military. If I went to China, I would love to go there and see their culture and eat their food. That's cool. Hey, that's awesome. I'll go to the Middle East and do their stuff. I mean, I know you can't.
Nice place to visit, not a nice place to live, though.
Yeah,
not for me. I think to be honest, no disrespect, but I'd rather just stay in America. I mean, I don't want to see the world. I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to China. To hell with them, you know. But we have no problems over here.
but I'm saying if you keep mixing people together, both cultures are going to be like you know, call America the great melting pot. But I cannot go to China in a sense in the future. What would be the point? There's not going to be nothing different than it would be in America because everybody.
Well, we're turning into South Africa. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But
everybody has the same language.
I want to ask 336 real quick. I just want to ask him the same question. Because he's from North Carolina, and he sees the problem we have here in North Carolina, at least. What do we do with those people? How do we view them? I mean, if we get this, you know, if we were ever to overturn the way America is now, the way it's going, which I don't see it happening without a major war or civil war, but if we sat at the table and said, hey, we could fix things this way, what would you recommend? I mean, how would we do it, go about it? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, I mean, that is a million-dollar question. I mean, you know, and I'm just going to speak from my personal opinion. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. But, you know, like me, I don't agree with race mixing either, you know. But, you know, my view is, you know, I believe we should be segregated. You know, this integration thing hasn't been working since it started. You know, so I believe we should be segregated. And, you know, My thing is, you know, like, for an example, if a white woman lays down with a black guy, well, in my eyes, she's no longer white, you know, and the child's not white either. You know, nothing against the child or anything else. I don't, you know, wish any evil on them, but, you know, I don't want them around. You know, I want them to be segregated from, you know, from white America. But, like, the media is the biggest breakdown of, like, the European family, you know, because you watch the media, you know, most of the TV and stuff you see on now is all showing race mixing and homosexuality, and they're promoting it. So that's the biggest breakdown we're having now.
Yeah, they're promoting. Yeah, so the music. It's cool to wear your pants down to your knees and walk around with your palms dragging on the ground and listening to that music. You know, all the white kids are listening to that rap music. Boom, bada boom, bada boom, you know, and the drum, you know. That's Cain right there, Cain in the Bible, you know, the drum, you know, and, you know, bouncing around, acting like a jungle bunny, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's all part of the Jewish media's agenda, you know, to just they're promoting homosexuality and race mixing just to breed out the pure Aryan bloodline, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, the perversion. And it starts, too, with, like, Howie Weird, you know, or toys. For instance, you got a little girl, a white little girl or whatever, or, you know, and you give them a gift at Christmas time, whatever, or they come home with a doll, and they got the doll looking like a beast. You know, the little girl, the kids today play with bestiality. All these toys represent bestiality. You know, you got dolls that don't look like a girl anymore. And so with that child grows up recognizing bestiality, immorality. So then that's what happens. What do? They lay with the ones that act like that. You know, and I got nothing against it. Look, man, that's their culture. You know, you want me black and proud, I'm all for you. That's fine. You can be black and proud. You can be Jewish. You can do whatever you want to do. But why can't the white people be white and proud? I put white pride worldwide on my Facebook page. I'm kicked off for 30 days. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that?
I mean, you can jump up and down and scream black pride all you want, but as soon as you say white pride, they try to put a label on you and call you a racist.
Yeah. You know, Yeah, and the thing of it is all the people say that, and I think Bert had it out once with a female on my podcast, actually, where she said, well, why can't we just all get along? Why can't we just all get along? One love, you know. Listen, that's not going to happen. It's been tried, and it's not going to happen. We're all just not going to get along, like Rodney King said. You know, it's just not going to happen.
No, that's why I said, you know, segregation, you know, because integration's not working. We're not getting along. And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, just in my opinion, is we're so different. Like, you know, me and a black guy, we have nothing in common. You know, and I'm a military veteran myself. You know, I heard the other caller say he was 101st Airborne. Hey, we walked some of the same ground because I was 101st myself. But, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't have nothing in common with them. I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want to get along with them. I don't wish, you know, any ill will on them. You know, I'm not saying I want somebody to go out there and, you know, do some harm to them. That's far from what I'm saying. I just don't want to be.
We got nothing in common. Yeah, nothing in common. The cultures are so different. Go ahead, 810. Go ahead. You want to say something?
Well, I said hook because he said it was the 101st Airborne, so it's kind of like a military thing. Kind of jumped in there, but no, he's absolutely right. You know, and it's just not that. It's just that they. I mean, I live up here in Michigan. I was born in Detroit, Mount Clemens General Hospital. In like 1985, my family moved out of there. They actually called it white flight. And, you know, people...
white flight.
People,
oh, boy.
No, yeah, they call it white flight. They've actually used the term actually on Fox News. You know, that's what happened. And white people moved out. And the funny part to me is now African Americans are saying, oh, look, we're being oppressed because we're in the inner cities and we can't live in the suburbs. It's like, wait a minute, you guys used to live out in the country and you got bussed into the inner cities. And then when so many of you came in there and started taking over and people started getting frustrated enough and the businesses were doing what they did, you know, white people were like, hey, this isn't economically or financially correct for me anymore. I can't live here. I'm going to move out because my property is not going to be worth nothing anymore, not just because black people are living there, but just because of the actual situation that's going on. So then they moved out. We moved out. And now they're complaining, oh, now we can't live in the suburbs. Well, wait a minute. Okay, if you guys want to be around us and you think that we should be mixed together, then... if I was to go, well, that's the biggest point I bring up to get people around me that don't really believe the same way as me. And they, you know, there's white people out there that kind of talk like black people, you know, oh, we all need to get along. Everybody should be the same. I said, well, then why don't you go live in Detroit or why don't you go live in Flint? Have you ever moved in there? Well, no, I don't live. Why not? I'm not, you know, if you're saying that they're not bad people, I'm not trying to say that they are. I'm just telling you. Look at the facts. Would you want to live there? The cops don't show up for like 30 minutes, man. And there was actually a black guy that was shot. It was right up here in Flint. I think it was in Flint or Detroit. This guy gets shot by some other black guy, and the police officer shows up. Now, the whole time this lady's out there, like, recording it, because she sees a guy out there laying in the street, and she's posting. She's did the whole video. It takes like 33 minutes or something. The cop shows up. There's no ambulance. The cop shows up first. He's been laying in the street for 33 minutes. He grabs him and throws him in the cop car and takes him to the hospital. Then they blame the cops. Oh, why did you pick him up? Why did you move him? Why didn't you wait for an ambulance?
Yeah.
What,
yeah
I mean,
yeah.
What the guy, granted, he.
You can never get
dead.
Any justice. You know, the founders wrote about this several times. When the blacks receive, or the African people that receive any type of. Suffrage or any rights violations, they're never going to see justice. You know, it'll always be an injustice. I don't have the exact quote, but I remember reading it, How Satan Destroyed America by Dr. Phil Grady. That was a good book, actually. One of the jokes in there is how can, you know, he talked about Michael Jackson, actually. How can a poor black boy grow up to be a rich white woman in America? You know, so.
Ah, jeez, Louise.
But
oh, it's the same way with yeah, it's the same way when the you know, you got all these people out here that served in the military, and then who gets the award for like the most courageous thing done? What's his face? That Kardashian father.
The Kardashians. Yeah, total destruction of the moral fabric of America. Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, look at her Look at her ass. Oh yeah. You know, I don't see nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's pretty disgusting. You know.
No, I totally agree. Well, that's why I got kicked off Messenger and Facebook. This dude sends me this picture during COVID lockdown. I don't know why he sent me this stupid picture. And it's like this black cheerleader, but she's just wearing a thong, and like, and that's what he sends to me. And she's shaking her butt cheeks. I'm like, dude, I don't want to see this black chick shaking her ass at me, you know? And
but that's
like,
what
oh
the
my
music
gosh,
promotes.
What
are
you?
The music promotes
yeah,
that, you know?
Right. But then that's all I sent him. I said, well, I use the N-word, you know, but I was just like, I don't want to see this, you know, person shaking
yeah,
their butt like
yeah,
this.
Don't use the N-word, please.
I know. I'm not. I know how this works.
Because, you know, that's a war. That's how we got to bow down to the system and the
yeah.
establishment that controls yeah. us today. Look at where they've chased us. Compare our country to what we had to what it is now. I'm not proud of what we have. I'm actually pretty upset and pretty pissed off what we have right now, and I really want to see us go back to the republic that which we were founded upon, not this democracy crap or this other crap that they promote. And this you know, I support America. Look, I support the police. I support I mean, it's the greatest system on earth right now, but we're still mm-hmm. broken. We're still infiltrated by a disgusting Jewish mafia, central banking cartel, Federal Reserve banking mm-hmm. cartel that destroys our money system, our monetary system. It's a greed-built system, a debt-based system that builds greed and hate and division amongst us, our own people, you know, and it's just disgusting. And the thing of it is, those are the things that I like to examine, you know, the Federal Reserve, stuff like that, get into that. Some of them are dry shows, but if you listen to them, you'll start picking up knowledge. And listen, knowledge is power. You know, and we have to really increase ourselves in knowledge, and to if we're going to ever have any chance whatsoever of having an awakening in this country, you know, we've got to be out there and be angry. Like the caller said, what's that, sir?
Oh, I was going to say that's exactly what happened to me. Is when I first got involved in the movement, and the guy recognized who I was, he said, "You don't have to believe anything I tell you. Like, what's the point of me arguing or debating anything? Here, read these books." So I had the time, and so I read the books, and I was just like, what? And I did research, just like asked, like, well, why did Adolf Hitler want to, you know, annihilate the Jews? Let's just say the Holocaust really happened. And some people were like, well, maybe it's sadistic or whatever. It's like, did you ever read his book? Have you ever read Mein Kampf? Like, it explicitly states in there what they were doing, just like they're doing in America today. If I was to come into an impoverished nation, right, let's say America just got demolished in a world war, and we have to take, you know, $100,000 to go buy a loaf of bread. And then these other group of people come in here, and they set up a banking system, and they say, hey, guess what? I know you guys need money. Well, we're going to lend you some money. And so you're like, okay, thank you. You know, you're trying to go out there. You're trying to farm. I mean, we're talking way back in the day. You know, there was no cars or anything like that, really. It was kind of getting started, but not really. But, you know, and then they go, okay, the payment's due. And you're like, well, look, you know, it's what, 100,000 Deutschmarks for a loaf of bread? Okay, I got some potatoes. Can I give you potatoes for the price? Oh, nope, sorry. Now I'm going to take all your land. And that's what Hitler hated.
Yeah.
He was like, these people are coming in here and reaping off the ashes of my people. And you have interest rates. I mean, that's what made National Socialism so great. When he was in power for, let's approximately within 7 to 10 years, there was no more welfare programs. There was everybody, basically, I think it went all the way down to less than 1% of the population was unemployed. People were eating chicken
realistically,
again.
Realistically today in the system, in the world system we have today, I mean, for instance, I'm a staunch advocate of Ron Paul and his economic plan, you know, the Austrian economics, and how, you know, to restore sound currency, sound money to the banking system here in America. Because, you know, we all need money to survive. We all have to use a bartering system to survive. and there has to be regulated somehow, some way. And but when you have man, you know, regulate it and control over it, it becomes corrupt after time. But still, we could start from anew and have some sort of awakening. So I was a staunch advocate of Ron Paul back, you know, in 08, 2012 when he ran for president. But he had a great idea, you know, with the Federal Reserve, audit the Federal Reserve first, and then, you know, we would eventually phase it out. Because if you ended the Fed right now, the Federal Reserve, the central bank, you know, you'd have complete devastation. I mean, you know, what would we do? You know, we'd come up with all these cryptocurrencies and all this other nonsense, and before you know it, it'd be another manipulation period of a manipulation of currency where you just said, for instance, the interest rates would be adjusted and whatnot. But that's why the founders were so hard. And that's why it's in the Constitution, gold and silver, weights and measures. You can't adjust weights and measures. It weighs what it is, and it is what it is, you know. And it's done so by labor, you know, the fruits of your labor. So, and that's why another thing, taxing your labor. The fruits of your labor should never be taxed. You know, the income tax is totally unconstitutional. But those are all types of issues that I like to combat and get on. But this issue about National Socialism that you brought up, how you got off the fence, got ignited into, you know, standing up for what's right and the facts behind it, that's key. And that's why, basically, that's how the show went tonight. And that's what I like about, you know, so that's how I do my shows. They just take their own course. Whatever happens, happens. But you guys wanted to, I'm not going to do the whole full 3 hours, though. So, you guys want to say something real quick before I start getting, I don't see any new callers here. I saw some, they dropped off. Let me get back to my other call board here. If anyone wants to call in, press number 1, and I'll get to connect you live here on the podcast, and you can say whatever you got to say. But the callers that I got on the queue right now with me, 336, you want to say something real quick before I start wrapping it up?
No, that's all I got. Just enjoy the show, and I hope you guys have a good night. 88.
Thank you so much. God bless you. That's thank you for calling and supporting the supporting me and contributing tonight. That's key. Thanks for everybody that's done that. I mean, even I had some callers there waiting for a while. Thank you. I appreciate it. Because, you know, this is new to me. I'm coming over to this platform. I want to bring the same message that I usually talk about on my show, but bring this. You know, I want to also build Bert's platform. We're going to work together. He comes over to my podcast. He listens to me talk, and, you know, he runs with me, so, you know, and then I run with him, and, you know, we got to get this, because we're all on the same, we're on the same page. We're all believing the same thing. We're together here, and we need to stand together and fight together, and that's what it's all about. 810, go ahead. You want to say something?
Yep.
Go ahead, brother.
The biggest thing I want to put out there is, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? Stand up today, get off the fence, and do the right thing. Hey, we're Americans. We're a republic, a constitutional republic, and we're all based off of a white society. Our founders were white, and it's not a frown on anyone else, but just the biggest thing is, if not now, then when, and if not you, then who?
That's right. Amen to that, man. Amen to that. You know, I'm going to play John Adams here at the end. It's only 3 minutes long, you know, so if you guys want to listen to John Adams here at the end, that's fine, but I usually play that on my show. And listen, I'm going to be doing another show Thursday night. I was supposed to do it on Thursday night, but something happened. I'm not going to put my personal business out there, because I know there's a lot of scumbags out there that want to attack me. So, anyway. Hey, listen, everybody that tuned in tonight, thank you so much. I appreciate it. God bless the Republic.
President recognizes Mr. Adams of Massachusetts.
Objects of the most stupendous magnitude. Measures which will affect the lives of millions, born and unborn, are now before us. We must expect a great expense of blood to obtain them. But we must always remember that a free constitution of civil government cannot be purchased at too dear a rate, as there is nothing on this side of Jerusalem of greater importance to mankind. My worthy colleague from from Pennsylvania, spoken with great ingenuity and eloquence. He has given you a grim prognostication of our national future, but where he foresees apocalypse, I see hope. I see a new nation ready to take its place in the world. Not an empire, but a republic. And a republic of laws, not men. Gentlemen, we are in the very midst of revolution. The most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of the world. How few of the human race have ever had an opportunity of choosing a system of government for themselves and their children. I am not without apprehensions, gentlemen. But the end we have in sight is more than worth all the means. I believe, sirs, that the hour has come. My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is in it. All that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready to stake upon it. While I live, let me have a country. A free country.
Thank you